When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. This is an emergency edition. The suspension for Deshaun Watson is in. It's 6 games. This is Doug LaMaurice. Mary Kay Cabot will be along shortly to give the initial reaction to this breaking news. It's Monday morning as we're recording this. It came out just before 9 o'clock. The Browns do have practice today. So our great Browns beat team is heading out to Berea. So we're kind of catching people on the fly, but we'll plan to have everybody on here that we can and get this initial reaction. We may hear from Deshaun Watson later in the day. We certainly will hear from other people associated with the Browns. And as you guys know, this is not the final decision. It's still possible that the NFL could appeal this, which would then potentially put the final decision in the hands of Roger Goodell or someone appointed by him. So 6 games for Deshaun Watson right now. It still could be more. That decision will come later this week, but we're going to jump right in with Mary Kay Cabot on her drive from her home to Berea. Sound quality, maybe not what you're used to here on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast, but the information is as great as ever when delivered by Mary Kay Cabot. Let's start talking right now about Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension.
Well, my initial reaction is that it was a little bit lighter than I expected. I really thought that Sue L. Robinson would hand down about half the season. I had heard it was probably going to be in somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 to 8 games, but it was the short end of that. And I do think that this now lends itself to a possible appeal by the NFL. We know the NFLPA is going to let this stand and is, I think, very happy with the 6 games, not so much for the NFL.
Mary Kay, what do you think now goes into the NFL's decision of whether to appeal this or not, which would then send it to either Roger Goodell or one of his designees to make a final ruling? Is it just what they think is right? How much do you think PR and public perception plays into this? This is a new process that the NFL has undertaken with this arbiter like Sue L. Robinson. Maybe they don't want to blow that up and let it go to Goodell. How do you think that the NFL will decide whether to appeal or not?
Well, they have a lot of things to consider, and that is if they do come back with something more than the 6 games, if they decide to appeal, take it to Roger Goodell and issue something more than the 6 games, then they're going to have a lawsuit on their hands. Now, the NFL generally does pretty well in federal court, so they might not let a lawsuit intimidate them like that. But they have to consider what they want to do. They wanted an indefinite suspension of at least the year with the chance to apply for reinstatement after the season. This doesn't even come close to that. They were willing to possibly settle for 12 games, but only if there was an $8 million fine attached to that. There's no fine, and it's half of what they were willing to settle for. This seems to me like unless they put their heads together and decide they want this to sort of, end as soon as possible, it seems like it has appeal written all over it.
Okay. So you think that would be a very possible next step for the NFL? They have to do that this week, announce that they are appealing. Is that correct?
They have 3 days in which to file their appeal. And then the NFLPA would have 2 days in which to respond to that appeal. But you've seen the NFLPA coming down very, very hard on this situation. They've been very proactive in saying what they will and won't do. They've taken a hardline stance in so many ways throughout this process. And I think that, the threat of a lawsuit will be very real.
Mary Kay, you've obviously covered this entire process since Deshaun Watson became a Cleveland Brown many months ago. What have you thought now that we're at this point where the initial ruling has been handed down? What's just your view of how this entire thing has played out with a lot of people, maybe talking behind the scenes, the length that it took to get here, that this is the initial ruling? Does the process to you seem reasonable, fair, proper? Does it feel clunky and weird and unsatisfactory? What's your view on how we got here?
Well, you know, one of the first things that comes to my mind is the fact that it got very ugly and contentious between the NFLPA and the NFL. It was sort of an unintended consequence. This was the first battle between the two under the revised collective bargaining agreement. And what we now know is that these things are going to be dogfights. I probably shouldn't use that word. These things are going to be just all-out battles to the finish. They tried to settle even in the last few days up until this decision. They tried to come to some kind of an agreement, and they couldn't get close. And the NFLPA, once again, has taken some preemptive strikes, including issuing a statement last night that they were not going to appeal and urging the NFL to do the same, putting the onus then on the NFL. You know, that's one of the first things that comes to my mind, is that this thing got onerous. And I think, you know, it's probably going to be that way going forward. But this is, you know, this is what the NFLPA wanted. They did not want Roger Goodell to be the judge, jury, and executioner. This is the first case. And now we know how it's going to go. The NFL is not going to get its way on these disciplinary issues without a real fight.
So that idea that Roger Goodell, in an appeal, Roger Goodell could still assume that role of having the final say. And you're saying you believe that there is a threat of a lawsuit on the other side if Goodell would then come, which, as the process is structured, he has that right to come in over the top and lengthen this 6-game suspension. How contentious would that be, Mary Kay, if this initial ruling is appealed by the NFL, overruled by Roger Goodell, a lengthier suspension is handed down, and they sue? I can't even imagine how difficult and contentious that would be.
Well, it's now up to the NFL to decide if it wants to put everyone through that process, to put itself, the NFLPA, the Browns, Deshaun Watson, and everyone else through the entire process of that appeals process and the lawsuit, or if they will just be willing to let it go. The other thing they might want to do is establish that, you know, that they're not going to back down.
Yeah.
I mean, they argued vehemently for the indefinite suspension of at least a year. That's what they feel that he deserves. And under the old rules, that's what he would have gotten. And in no uncertain terms, he would have missed his second full season of football in 2022 if these new revisions hadn't been put into place in 2020. So now the NFL is, you know, in the very first time out under these rules, is going to have to show what it's made of. Is it going to, you know, respect the process, so to speak, or is it going to, you know, fight to the death on this thing? It's fascinating to watch it play out. And, you know, the ball is right now in the NFL court, and the Browns season is hanging in the balance.
Mary Kay, I know this decision has just come down as we speak. You are driving to Browns practice. Have you had a chance yet? Is the ruling itself publicly available yet? Have you seen the full documentation of what Sue L. Robinson decided?
No, not yet. I'm in the process. I've gotten snippets of it here and there, but I have not seen the 15-page document yet. I'm still trying to get that.
Okay.
As you mentioned, I'm driving. It's not a good day to be driving. You know, this is the kind of day where you need a driver, or I probably should have Ubered, but yeah, I mean, like, you don't want to be in the car for 25 minutes when you're, you know, you're trying to get out to the Browns facility. But it's important to be there today, obviously, because who knows, Deshaun Watson could be one of the players that they let speak at 11:15 today. Now, I kind of doubt it, because, again, this matter is not resolved yet. So
right,
he can't really say anything too definitive on this. You know, I think they kind of need to wait. I mean, of course, we want to hear from him today, but I think from a Browns standpoint, they will probably wait until an appeal is filed and a final decision is made.
One of the things that I saw somebody report was that one of the pieces of Sue L. Robinson's decision is that he cannot get massages from anyone other than team approved massage therapists. It does feel like that there is punishment for past behavior, but I think you want to try to, contain future behavior. That would seem to me to be a reasonable part of this, that here is your punishment for what you did in the past, but we are setting up guidelines for you cannot do the same thing again, or we are going to really come down on you. What do you think about that potential piece of it that they are trying to say? We're not, if we find out you're using a bunch of outsized massage therapists, that's going to be a huge problem for you.
Well, I mean, that's, the minimum of what the NFL is probably requiring. I mean, there will be counseling that he has to do. But I think that, that was absolutely something that had to be included in this. They cannot take the risk of anything like this happening again, especially after, what seems like a relatively light suspension. I mean, when you look at some of the suspensions for other players and things that they have done, this is, this is not a super lengthy suspension, but this is what the NFLPA wanted. They wanted it out of Rodgers' hands. They wanted it in the hands of an independent officer, or at least a jointly appointed disciplinary officer like Sue L. Robinson, who is a retired federal judge who has a, just a different perspective on these sorts of things. So I just think that's kind of the minimum of what the NFL is going to require from him.
Mary Kay, what did you make of the fact that, again, at one point there were more than 20 civil suits against Deshaun Watson? He settled most of those several weeks ago. Then late Sunday night, there were four remaining. He settled three of those four. There is only one outstanding civil suit at this point. What did you make of that? How did that fit into the piece around Deshaun Watson right now?
Well, with only one suit left, I mean, now I'm sure the ante increases for that. But if he can get that one settled, and if the NFL does not appeal this decision, then by October 23rd, when Deshaun Watson gets back on the football field in Baltimore, this starts to be about football. It starts to be about the Cleveland Browns, executing their plan of trying to get Super Bowls for this city. And I actually do believe that, if the NFL doesn't appeal and it is the six games and the suits are all settled, that it does start to be not a footnote, but it starts to be parenthetical, and it's not the main thing anymore. And that once he gets out there and starts winning football games and he doesn't have any other incidents, then he can, I think, probably go on to a long and successful career here.
Six games from a football standpoint, does that mean, in your opinion, that for sure the Browns would stick for Jacoby Brissett? There's no need to look at bringing in another outside quarterback. And how competitive can the Browns be, do you believe, in the 2022 season if, in fact, it winds up being a six-game suspension?
Well, first of all, the plan up to this point has been to go with Jacoby Brissett for however long Deshaun Watson is out. He's been here. He's been practicing. He knows the system. And the first four games are pretty easy. I mean, when you first saw those games, you had to wonder, was the NFL somehow doing the Browns a favor? Of course, everyone says that was not the case, but they do have the easiest first four games in the NFL, just in terms of winning percentage of the opponents and whatnot. If Deshaun gets to come back and play the final 11 games of the season, now again, he will have been out of football for about 22 months at that point, since the end of the 2020 season. But if he gets to come back and play in those 11 games after Jacoby supposedly holds down the fort through the first six, I think all of their goals are still out in front of them. And of course, they're trying to win a Super Bowl this year.
Mary Kay, during the course of this, was there a time that you think the Browns believed it could be a year? This is about the off-field situation and the adjudication of that, but it matters because of the football. Do you, from a football perspective, do you think the Browns are relieved by this? Do you think there was a moment when they really thought we might not have this guy for a whole season? How do you think the Browns rode sort of the situation as they were waiting for a decision here?
I think there was a point in time where everyone on Deshaun's side thought it could be a year. They didn't feel like it was going the way that they wanted it to go. They could sense from the lead investigators, Lisa Friel and Jennifer Gaffney, that they did not like the way, you know, things were going and their reactions to certain things and the interviews with Deshaun. And I do think that his camp really did think that it could possibly extend to that indefinite suspension for a minimum of a year. I think the Browns are probably so relieved about six games. I think they would have been relieved at eight games. I think that, you know, they felt that if he could get on the field for half the season, that they could still accomplish their goals and this season would not be lost.
Mary Kay, you've covered this league for a long time. Ben Roethlisberger, more than a decade ago, had an accusation of sexual assault that led to a six-game suspension for him. More recently, Ezekiel Elliott had an accusation that led to a six-game suspension for him. It feels like that if it's an accusation of sexual misconduct with no criminal charge, six games is where the NFL has landed a lot of times. And then we can look back and see what happened with Ben Roethlisberger's career after that, what happened with Ezekiel Elliott's career after that. It does, like it. We do move on, Mary Kay, like for good, for bad, we move on and we wind up talking about football. You said this, it's not that it's maybe a footnote, but parenthetical. How do you think we'll look back on this? Do you think that it will be one of those where the football rules the day with Deshaun Watson's career and this is just something that gets mentioned, but it's not maybe in the first sentence of his career?
Yeah, I think that's how it will ultimately go. As long as there are no more lawsuits, as yep. long as there are no criminal charges coming, and no one seems to believe that's going to be the case. It does seem that Tony Busby, even though who is the attorney for the 24 plaintiffs who filed suits, actually there were 25, one was dropped, but Tony Busby had cautioned that he had two more suits coming down the pike after. The 20 were initially settled in June. We didn't hear anything more about those other two lawsuits. So I don't know if they're still out there. I don't know if they'll have to go find other lawyers because it was part of the agreement with these settlements with Tony Busby. So, not too sure about those. But as long as Deshaun doesn't have any criminal charges coming down the pike or any more of these lawsuits, then I do think that he can get back to football, and I do think it will be similar, you know, to what happened with the Ben Roethlisberger, where people will bring it up at certain times, maybe more so for Deshaun because there were so many accusers, but that, you know, that the football can become the main thing in his career. I do think that is possible, especially because he's settling these suits.
And Mary Kay, you were out there at practice the other day when Deshaun Watson had the opportunity to practice in front of fans for the first time. You saw the way fans reacted to him. I do think from a fan standpoint, and this has been obviously not as difficult on the fans as it has been on the women involved in the suits against Deshaun Watson, but for fans trying to figure out, they just want to root for their team. I do think maybe just having a decision, maybe you agree with it, maybe you disagree with it, but at least there's something concrete now to sort of base your reaction on. I almost feel like this was a step that fans were waiting for, because to be in limbo and trying to figure out how you should feel about the Browns and Deshaun Watson, and certainly a lot of people did have conclusions on that. I just feel like maybe this is an important step for fans to say, okay, I can't control what the NFL does, but at least a decision has been made, and now I can start to try to figure out how to root for my team or how to think about this. Like this day had to come for fans to get their heads wrapped around this.
Well, you know, I would agree to that to a certain extent, but until we know whether or not the NFL is appealing, I just don't think that anybody can say, okay, I'm going to go make a trip to Baltimore October 23rd, because I think Deshaun is going to be playing. Or now I can, you know, buy these tickets or fly to Cleveland or do whatever the case may be, or keep open my plans in January and early February because of what, where the Browns are going to be. I don't think we arrive at that moment until we know what the final resolution is on this discipline. It is the next step. It is not the final step. And that will happen at that point.
Mary Kay, I'll let you go with this one. Just the fact that the Browns did this, that this has happened, that the fan base has been through this, that the organization has been through this. Is this, as we sit here today, does this feel like, I don't know if I want to say worth it, but when the Browns made the decision to trade for Deshaun Watson, this seems like what you're saying, this is the kind of thing they were hoping it would wind up like this, that this is doable. This is something where they think they can still make the playoffs this year. This is a pretty good outcome from a Browns perspective, it seems like you're saying.
Absolutely. They absolutely think that a 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson will be worth it for what is about to come on the football field for them. That is their thinking. You know, I'm not saying that's how I'm feeling about it. I know that's how they feel about it. That is why they took this risk and this chance, because now they feel they are bestowing upon their fan base a football player who is going to deliver the goods for a very long time in Cleveland. And that should, in their view, include multiple Lombardi trophies. And they do believe, they also vouch for Deshaun's character. Throughout this whole entire process, they have felt that he is a good person who is accused of these things and basically wrongfully accused of all of these allegations. They believe in him from a humanity standpoint, that he's not a horrible person and that he is not a sexual predator. That is how they feel. So they absolutely 100% think in the final analysis, this will be all worth it.
I'm actually going to ask one more. Deshaun Watson at the initial news conference, Mary Kay, was very reluctant to get into any specifics because there were ongoing civil suits, because there were things, nothing had been decided really, other than no grand jury charges. Do you believe at some point Deshaun Watson will speak more about this? Maybe once the NFL final decision is made, will he speak in more detail or explain his side of things? Do you think we will have that moment with Deshaun Watson at some point?
I think, yes. I think somewhere, somehow, he will tell his side of the story and say a lot of the things that he didn't feel that he could say up until this point. I don't know if those things will happen in the middle of a football season, but I think that in some shape or form, you know, he will have his say, and he's wanted to do that for a long time. He was hoping that, you know, if it came down to it, he would be doing that during the civil proceedings. But now that it looks like there probably won't be any lawsuits, I mean, I would think with one more, you know, he will do everything he can to settle that one. I think he will find another way to, you know, to tell his story.
Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com. You have a very busy day ahead of you. Browns practice. Deshaun Watson may or may not speak, but you've done a great service to our listeners and readers, Mary Kay, with your incredible reporting during this. As always, we're accustomed to it by now, but I know it's not easy, and I know it's time-consuming, but you're a boots-on-the-ground kind of journalist, and we appreciate you guiding us through this, and I'm sure we will talk soon, Mary Kay.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
More reaction to the Deshaun Watson suspension. Dan Lobby joining us now out at Browns headquarters in Berea. Dan, as we record this late Monday morning, we do expect to hear from the Browns today, but perhaps interviews push back a little bit. What's the status of that?
Yeah, we're still waiting to hear from who we're going to hear from and when we're going to hear from them. Normally we're out there interviewing guys around 11:15 and then Kevin Stefanski at 1:30. Right before practice, but that's all sort of up in the air. I'd imagine that they want to get us, you know, I don't know if we would hear from the Haslams today. I don't know if we'll hear from Andrew Berry or Deshaun Watson. Maybe all of this is going to be old news by the time people listen to this. But yeah, we're still kind of waiting to see who we're going to hear from today.
And we certainly will come back with another Orange and Brown Talk report as we get more information and talk to more people about this. This is our emergency initial reaction to it. Six games, Dan, what was your initial reaction?
I was not surprised. It started to feel kind of as this thing wore on and some of the leaks came out that the NFL getting their indefinite suspension was not going to happen. I kind of felt like this maybe could land somewhere in that neighborhood of 4 to 8 games. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was 8. So 6 kind of, it just didn't surprise me. It was sort of like, oh, okay, 6 games. That's about in the range I kind of expected. I thought it was even going to be hard to maybe push it up to 10 or 12, kind of based on what we were hearing about what was presented and sort of what Sue Robinson was working off of.
From a football standpoint, it feels like 6 games was the range that we sort of had talked about a lot in the offseason, the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. It almost felt like Jacoby Brissett is a 6-game quarterback. That if you're asking Jacoby Brissett to start 12 games, well, does that mean the Browns have to look at something else? If you're asking Jacoby Brissett to start a whole season, boy, oh boy, you might be really taking a year with peak Myles Garrett, peak Nick Chubb, peak Denzel Ward, guys like that. I'm not throwing it away, but you're making it hard. Does, from a football standpoint, how likely is it that the Browns can still have a very good football season if, in fact, the final decision lands on 6?
I mean, it's absolutely likely. And I think it's funny that you say Jacoby Brissett is a 6-game quarterback, because I'm looking at it right now. When he started for Indianapolis in 2017, they got off to a 5-2 start. One of those wins actually came in a primetime game against Kansas City. And then he got hurt and they kind of collapsed. They ended up going 7-9. They only won 2 more games the rest of the way. So you probably have it about right. He is probably about a 6 or 7-game quarterback. And the reality is, in the modern NFL, where teams are trying to be smarter and they think about reps, and you know, we see a little more of an NBA approach sometimes. It's not the load management stuff, but teams don't panic when they start a season like 4-4, or in this case, let's say 3-3, or whatever it might be. They know it's a long season. They know it's a 17-game season, and there's 7 teams that make the playoffs now. Like an iffy team usually makes the playoffs. We've seen that in these first 2 years with 7 teams. And so 6 games is short of him not getting suspended at all.
What has the vibe been, Dan, as camp has started, as Deshaun Watson was out on the practice field with some fans around him in recent days? How do you think waiting for the Deshaun Watson suspension has affected this team at all? And that will lead us into another question. But what's it been like so far, do you think?
If it's in anyone's mind, we haven't really felt it. And even just watching Deshaun Watson on the practice field, watching his teammates on the practice field, hearing from Kevin, hearing from players talk about it, it hasn't felt like it's sort of hung over them. Now, I have to imagine they're human beings just like we are, right? And this decision, as much as it affects us because in our jobs, it affects them 10 times more, at least, right? I mean, this is their season. This is what they do. The difference between Deshaun and Jacoby Brissett is immense. But they didn't show it. So I'm sure they were thinking about it. I'm sure there have been nerves. I'm sure, I don't know if last night was a sleepless night for anybody. It might have been. But I think they've done a good job of just sort of going about their business and doing what they're supposed to do. And some guys have even kind of compared it almost to an injury, right? Like if Deshaun gets hurt in training camp and has to miss 6 games, I mean, how is this any different from a football standpoint? So I think they've handled it well and at least put up a good front.
And I do think I was looking for sort of comparisons like that. I think Myles Garrett's rookie year, he played 11 games. So remember, he got hurt in camp. You know, I meant Myles Garrett again.
Yeah, he hurt his ankle. He didn't come back until game 4.
And then obviously Myles Garrett had the suspension after the Steelers game that year. I think it might have been 6 games he missed with that. Like that does seem it's almost 6 games is sort of like a high ankle sprain, or 6 games is like a shoulder thing that doesn't require surgery. 6 games in the modern NFL, I think you're right, Dan, is very doable from a football standpoint. That is not just from losing a very good player. It's not a 5 alarm, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? It's, well, that's what backups are for. And you assume this is going to happen. I do just think it is a little different to me of, well, something's going to happen. We don't know if it's going to be 6 or 10 or 12 or the whole year versus again, there's an appeal process here, but if it lands on six and it's six, do you think that will help the team proceed of whenever it's definitive? Do you think that will help the team sort of get things lined up because there's no more uncertainty about it?
Yeah, it's the knowing, right? There's power in the knowing, I guess. I don't know if that's a real saying. I feel like I've heard that before. But just having that ability to say, okay, it's like, even for, like, again, I hate to compare us directly to them, but just for us, think about how much easier it is for us to talk about this football team now that we know, again, pending appeal, we know it's going to be six games. We know exactly when he's going to come back. We know who it's going to be against. We know the six games he's going to miss. It's so much easier just to talk about this football team now. So for them as players and as coaches and as an organization, as they kind of plan things, I mean, if he had been suspended for a year, they have to seriously consider their options at quarterback. Now they don't. It just makes everything so much easier for them. It's okay, we're going to prepare Jacoby to play these six games. This is how we have to kind of met out our reps and training camp. This is sort of how we have to approach this moving forward. Now there's no unknowns at this point. Of course, the appeal, I suppose, is an unknown, but even that doesn't feel like Roger Goodell could do more than add maybe two or three games if he even wanted to do that.
Ashley Bastock also now joining us from Berea. Ashley, we're getting everybody's initial reaction. What did you think of six games?
Yeah, you know, and I wrote about this in my immediate aftermath reaction kind of post. Like, for me, this still feels like kind of far from over, right? Like, the NFL is maintaining their right to appeal this decision. We know that the NFLPA and Watson released that joint statement yesterday saying they wouldn't appeal any decision that Sue L. Robinson made in regards to a suspension. But for me, it's like the combination of that, the combination of the allegations that he's faced over the last year plus, and the magnitude of them, the fact that there was almost, you know, over two dozen women who accused him of the sexual misconduct. I think it's going to be a long time before, you know, maybe not ever, that this is fully forgotten in terms of Deshaun Watson's legacy, right? But this was the first step, getting that initial suspension. So I think overall, I'm not surprised by the number of games. I thought maybe it would land around here based on some of the leaks that were coming out as the hearing, you know, concluded. But it just, for me, feels like this isn't a done deal yet. Like, this, an element of this is still going to be looming over this team, you know, for this year and possibly much longer than that.
Ashley, the six games in the end, maybe it's what everybody should have been guessing all along. And a lot of people were, because I do think it feels like the NFL has gone here before with anything that is sexual misconduct without criminal charges. This is where the league has landed in several other cases. Now, again, the process here is different. That is, there is an agreed upon intermediary. It's not the league issuing the punishment right off the bat. Of course, the appeal goes through the league. But I do think, if you were wondering, well, the number of cases, right, the number of civil suits, and the fact that the New York Times reported that it was 60 plus different massage outlets that Deshaun Watson had used, that I think was where we didn't know the volume, right? How does the volume approach it? But if this is six games is sort of the standard for accusations, evidence, no criminal charges, this is how the NFL operates. Is that good? Is that bad? Is that appropriate? Like, what do we think of sort of, maybe that's just the world that we live in now when it comes to the NFL and discipline for things like this?
Yeah, I think, like, this is all so, so complicated. And, like, Doug, I know you mentioned the volume there, and I did want to touch on that. I think it's important to remember, like, that New York Times story came in quick, right? Like, the number 66 or whatever it was just so much bigger than I think anyone had anticipated up until that point. But when you're talking about a former federal judge who is an independent disciplinary officer, she is only going to consider the evidence that's presented, right? Like, she's not going to consider that New York Times story and the fact that it is 66 women. And from what we know, the NFL presented four women's cases when they were in this three-day hearing in front of her. So I think in that regard, it isn't surprising. Like, again, when you hear what they presented, when you hear that they didn't present any evidence of violence on the part of Deshaun Watson. I think at the end of the day, Sue L. Robinson just considered what was presented to her over the course of those 3 days and in the post-hearing briefs. It wasn't about all of these other accusations that, yes, could be very, very real. And, you know, I'm sure those women, the alleged victims, have so many feelings about this. But that, at the end of the day, that wasn't what the NFL presented in terms of trying to, you know, argue that he should get that indefinite suspension for at least a year. So I think that's just what she considered at the end of the day. And like you said, Doug, that's just kind of the reality of the league now with their standards, with this new collectively bargained agreement. That's kind of just the reality of life in the NFL when these accusations rise up.
We will get back to Dan in a second, but I want to ask you one more, Ashley. Do you think the Browns can be a playoff team, be a legitimate Super Bowl contender, do what they want to do if six games is the final answer? And again, you are bringing up a good point. You're kind of maybe stressing it more than anyone else has so far, that it's not over. But we had sort of talked about this at Cleveland.com. How do we react to this? It's what we have now. This is the initial ruling. Of course, we know there have a couple of days here where the appeal could come down and the appeal could change everything. But let's deal with this if it's this, how manageable is this for the Browns to have a very good football season?
I think it's very manageable. Again, I've been kind of, you know, playing the schedule game with this, and I've reiterated more than anyone that those first four games especially feel very easy on their schedule. If this stands, he's going to come back before that. He'd be able to play for that Ravens game on October 23rd. So I do think like that playoff race is still kind of in their control. You know, I said if he got eight games, got like a half season suspension, I felt like maybe the Browns would need some things to fall in their favor. They wouldn't be fully in control of their own destiny. But I think looking at the schedule with Jacoby Brissett as the starter, I think this team could easily go 3-3. And then after that, you have, you know, your $230 million arm back there for you. So I definitely think that all their goals right now are still in front of them. And that's why I really like Dan's, you know, reactionary post that this was kind of the first of many potential uncomfortable wins for the Browns. Like, this is definitely the six games is, I think, in the grand scheme of things, still a win for them.
Dan, before we let you guys get out of here and get back inside in Berea and get to practice, I guess it's the way it works, but that the NFL is sort of adjudicating this, you know, in a world that the criminal justice system declined to indict him, the civil court system heard these cases and all but one of them has now been settled. That is a remedy, right? And again, I think if you are really upset with this, you're maybe more primarily upset with the idea that the grand juries in Houston did not indict Deshaun Watson and did not allow sort of a trial to bring out all the evidence and have that argued. There is a part of me, Dan, that yes, the NFL is the employer of these players, but there's something to the idea that like that the NFL is in charge of, like, the NFL has final say here about a thing that really didn't have much to do with football. Although, of course, as we do find out, the Houston Texans may have been involved in helping Deshaun Watson make some of these massage appointments. But I think it feels normal to us now because there's the personal conduct policy and this is how it works. But is there a part of this that is a little, I don't know. I don't know if odd is the right word, but that, you know, we did the criminal court, we did the civil court, but now we're doing the NFL court, that like an NFL court even exists.
Yeah. And I think part of it is because it's also public, right? Like, we all see this happening, you know, in front of our, right? Like, everybody knows how this works and all of that. But I think it's important to note here that, you know, this is a former federal judge. She was appointed by the NFL and the NFLPA. And she clearly saw something here in all of this that the NFL presented. She clearly saw something that was amiss. You know, whatever it was, and I don't think we've seen a copy of the full ruling or anything like that, but she obviously saw some sort of wrongdoing here. And she's just judging this not in a legal standpoint, but against the personal conduct policy. That's all that has to happen. And, you know, like, in a way, Doug, I mean, if you or I, you know, if I go on some Twitter rant that makes Cleveland.com look bad or calls into question my ability to do my job, like, impartially, right? We would be in our boss's office and there would be some some consequence to that, you know? So I mean, this is just sort of, you know, not to boil this down or, you know, I mean, that's an apples or oranges and oranges comparison, but, you know, we all face consequences in our workplace for things that aren't illegal or things that don't rise to the level of facing civil, you know, potential civil trials. And there is still that one outstanding case in all of this. So, you know, I think because it's so public, maybe that's different. And because, you know, there is so much controversy when some of these decisions come out, like with Ray Rice and all of that. But I think when you kind of step back and look at it and say, you know, look, a former federal judge appointed by the union and the league, you know, looked over this, saw it was worthy of a suspension, saw it rose to at least the level of violating the personal conduct policy. I think the system sort of worked. Now, whether you agree with the length of suspension or not, that's different. But I think the system itself, at least to this point, worked.
Yeah, and actually, we'll let you guys go with this one. Like that sort of that idea that there are systems in place, Ashley. There are systems in place. There's a criminal court system. There's a civil court system. There's an NFL court system. Our opinions, I think, about what happened with Deshaun Watson are ingrained. And then we apply our thoughts to the results of the courts, right? Or the results of the arbiter. But we have these systems. It doesn't mean they're perfect, but I guess what should people maybe try to accept these decisions and go to the next step because we're doing the best we can. And, you know, Sue L. Robinson, she seems kind of qualified and both sides got to present arguments. And now we have to move on, right? We have to move on because the system gave a decision.
I mean, in theory, right? But again, the NFL is still holding open their option to appeal. And I think that's, you know, that statement from the NFLPA and Deshaun Watson that came out last night basically said, like, we want people to believe that this new disciplinary system works and can't be changed based on the whims of the league office, which again, Roger Goodell or his designee would hear this appeal. And the caveat, I think, to remember is they can only use the evidence that was presented. There can't be new evidence presented. The argument has to be, hey, we presented this evidence. We think this punishment wasn't right. It should be more games or less games, in a theory, is how these appeals should work. But again, this is why the NFLPA was so adamant that they thought it should be more like the system that Major League Baseball uses, right? That like the commissioner would get to decide the initial punishment and then the appeal would go to an independent disciplinary officer who has the final say. And from what we know, the NFL would not budge on that part of negotiating this CBA, this disciplinary process. So that's why it is what it is. And I do think then like it will become this question of, okay, well, how much did this whole thing really matter if the league comes in, swoops in and changes this pretty drastically? So it is interesting because again, this is the first time that we have seen this new disciplinary process in action. This is the first example of it. So we don't know, you know, like Dan wrote about the appeal process. This should be, if it goes through, if the NFL does decide to appeal, it should wrap up within about a week or 2 weeks because there are time limitations on it, according to the CBA. But yeah, I mean, it is an interesting question about what that will do to, you know, people's faith in this disciplinary procedure if her ruling is not accepted and if it comes down to Roger Goodell or his designee deciding an ultimate punishment for Deshaun Watson.
And real last question here, Dan, if the NFL here would go to 12 games or go to a full season, there's no way the Players Association and the next collective bargaining agreement would agree to the system. Right. Like this is the first example of this, but I feel like it could also blow up the system if we get back to a world where Roger Goodell just kind of does what he thinks and doesn't abide by this or at least close to it.
Yeah. But that being said, the CBA, I think, is in effect until 2030. I believe it was a 10-year CBA. I think they agreed to it in 2020. And the argument is always going to be like, well, you know, you guys did ultimately agree to this. I think the issue you'd have, though, is if you did raise it significantly. So, I mean, I could see maybe tacking on two games and maybe being able to get away with that. But I do think if you were to say, nope, we're going indefinite, it's going to be at least a year. Then you start to get to, is the NFLPA going to sue? And then maybe Deshaun Watson's on the field in week one. So that's the whole, like Ashley keeps saying, that's where it's sort of, it feels over, but maybe it's still a long ways from over if this thing could end up in court somehow. And I think if the NFL decided to just completely torpedo this ruling and say, no, we're going to go a year, or we're going to go, even, I don't know if they would go to court over 12 games or something like that. But if it's a significant increase, then this thing maybe ends up being far, far from over.
Ashley Bastock and Dan Lobby out in Berea. We will be gathering lots of news, information, quotes from people associated with the Browns today. We'll be back with another Orange and Brown Talk, probably sooner than later. Make sure you are reading cleveland.com/Browns for every bit of information about this that you can get. And of course, if you are one of our Browns football insiders, you've been getting text messages about this since the news broke, you know, before 9 a.m. this morning. So this is a great reason to be a football insider. For now, thanks to Mary Kay Cabot at the start. Thanks to Ashley and Dan for their insight right now. I'm Doug LaMaurice, and that was the Orange and Brown Talk podcast.